When I ask you to complete a difficult task this morning, you have to find the book of Obadiah. If you can find the middle of your Bible and go to the right, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, and then Obadiah. Yeah, I don't know how many messages I've ever heard from Obadiah. Probably not very many, but you'll have one this morning, Lord willing. So Obadiah, chapter 1, there's actually only one chapter in Obadiah, 21 verses long. We will read the first four verses. Obadiah, verses 1 through 4. Everybody find it? No response? I'll take it as a yes. All right. Verse 1 of Obadiah, the vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God, concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, Who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. The message this morning is the pride of Edom. I'll tell you a few things about that after we pray. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us this morning. Lord God, we come before You in the name of Jesus Christ, knowing that it is the only way, that is the only way we can enter Your presence. And we certainly need Your assistance in understanding and applying Your Word. We ask that would happen this morning and throughout our week. I pray that the words on this page would truly be life-giving words, would be convicting words, and Your work would be accomplished here in every one of our hearts. And I just ask that all of us really be attentive to what You have to say today and just really get the world out of our mind and focus on You this morning. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, when I said the title of the message, your mind might have ran to a certain place, because in the month of June in the United States of America, the word pride, there's a lot of things that probably come to your mind, but here is the thrust of your message, of the message this morning. I want to try and make this personal for all of us. So here's the thrust. I'll give you the message in one little short phrase. Here it is. Beware of your own prideful heart. There's the whole message in a nutshell. It's really easy to point fingers at the pride people, but did you know that any of us in the room this morning can be the pride people? I'm talking about just having pride. So let's talk about what that's all about. Pride has permeated almost every aspect of the world we live in. So I'll give you just a few here. In the world of sports, which I work in on a regular basis, it has no longer become about the team. It has become about the individual on the team. And if you follow any sports, now it's in college and it's eventually going to make its way to high school. But it used to be that a player would join a team at the professional level and at the college level and at the high school level, and they would stay with that team for maybe the whole time they played. You remember those days? If you've been following sports for a while, that used to be the case. That is no longer the case, because if a player is unhappy and not getting what he or she wants, financially or otherwise, they say, I'll go somewhere else that'll give it to me. So this is now happening in college, and now I'm watching this before our eyes even in the high school ranks. This school won't do this for me, so I'll go to a school that does. So it's no longer about the team, it's about the individual. And I've always been told, it's a simple little saying, but it's so true, there's no I in team. So, by the way, little side note, P-R-I-D-E, the middle letter in pride is I. So when you really get down to the nitty-gritty, pride is I am number one. The pastor didn't know he had paved the way this morning for the message, but in all things he, that's Jesus Christ, might have the preeminence. He should be number one. But if you have pride in your heart, you become number one. He's no longer number one. So do you realize, as Christians, as Bible-believing Christians, I have to, you have to watch out for pride entering your heart. If you become more important than the Lord, you have pride. If any of your own personal needs or anybody else takes the place of the Lord, there's an entrance of pride in your heart. So beware of your own prideful heart. In the music industry, there's always been concerts. And when people go to concerts, why do they go to a concert? Why do they choose to go to hear a certain person or a certain group of people sing? Because it's about those people or that person. And you go, actually during the concert and after the concert, it's all about heaping praise on the performer. Now, you say, yeah, the world's like that. Well, unfortunately, this has made its way into churches. And we all have our own favorite Christian singers and even preachers. Beware about heaping praise upon an individual, because who gave every individual the ability they have to do whatever they do, sing or preach or teach? It's the Lord. He deserves a preeminence. So you see, you got to watch out. Pride is sneaky. And you'll think, yeah, that person's prideful and that person, and you're prideful. So beware of your own prideful heart. I've noticed this with a couple different groups of people. Television personalities, and you can lump politicians in with this one. There used to be a day when there was an interest in obtaining facts about what was really going on. You remember those days? Those days are gone. Used to be an interest in give me what is true, whether I like it or not. Now, depending on what you watch or what you listen to, you'll get a slant on the truth, and it may not really even be the truth at all. There's very few facts floating around in our world today that you can obtain easily. You got to dig to find the facts today, don't you, about what's really happening in the world. So what happens is you esteem one television personality above another, and you say, well, this guy's right, or this girl's right, and this person way down here, they can't be right. And what you end up doing is you end up looking to a person to tell you the truth. And you end up exalting the person over what God said. And again, when you get that person that you find that tells you the truth, or you think does, then you become a follower of that person. And you end up taking on all the beliefs that they have. And what you end up doing is you end up overthrowing what God says. And you end up overthrowing Him having the preeminence in your life. So you see how pride is just a stinking, treacherous thing. You don't think you're prideful? You probably are prideful. In fact, that's a good indication that you are prideful. I don't have any pride in my heart. You just told on yourself if you think that. How about, I mentioned politicians. It has now become prime time entertainment to watch one politician bully another politician. And when you see the bullying take place amongst politicians, there's nothing but pride trying to overthrow the pride of another guy or another lady. So you see this all over the place. And then I mentioned churches, but I'll just mention it again. You have to watch out, because preachers and churchgoers can fall into this trap of, watch out for this one, can fall into the trap of making fun of everybody who does not line up with what you believe, and thinking that they're lesser people or even lesser Christians than you. Now, we have the truth. Amen? We got the truth, and we ought to stand on the truth. But the very second you start thinking, well, they're not as good as I am because I have the truth and they don't, you're just being prideful. That's all you are. There's a lot of that floating around in churches today. So beware. That is nothing, that kind of behavior, by the way, is nothing but self-exalting behavior meant to make one party look bad and to make who look good? Who? Not God, but make who look good? Make you look good. Make me look good. See, now it's got to, we convince ourselves, oh, I'm giving God the glory. No, in reality, you're just pressing down everybody else so that you are lifted up. And there's a facade there saying, well, this is, I want to give God the glory on this. And really, it's probably not very much of that at all. It's more about you than God. So beware of that. So as we look at this passage this morning, hopefully I paved the way for us this morning. Are you realizing that pride is not something that we just look at other people and say, man, they're prideful? Because again, this month it's really easy to do that. And say, look at this group of prideful people. And they actually use the word. I want to encourage all of us. I'm at the top of the list on this. Take a look inward instead of outward. Because it's easy to identify pride in our world, but we need to identify pride in ourselves and our church. So let's do that this morning. So let's look at a group of people that God points out as having a lot of pride, and it's obviously not a good thing. So look at verse 1 again. If you look here, we're talking about a group of people called the Edomites. The vision of Obadiah, the say of the Lord concerning Edom. So I got to lay a groundwork here. Before we get to the main points here, we have got to talk about who these people, the Edomites, are. So if you would, we'll keep coming back to Obadiah, so you want to keep a marker there. Let's go over to Genesis 36. Now, this is a little Bible study. You want to find out who these people are and why God is angry with them. So let's go back to Genesis 36 and take a look at Genesis 36, verse 1. Who are the Edomites? Why is God angry with the Edomites? How is it that they develop such pride in their hearts? Take a look at Genesis 36, verse 1. Now these are the generations of who? Esau. Esau, who is? Okay, so if you're taking notes, you might want to write something down. Edom, Esau. You might want to draw a little arrow there. Edom, arrow, Esau. So I'm going to add another one to that. The Edomites are descendants of Esau. You with me so far? So if you remember, Jacob and Esau are the descendants of Isaac. Out of those two brothers, who is it that received the blessing that was originally given to Abraham and then Isaac? Out of those two brothers, who got the blessing? It was Jacob. Do you remember how he got the blessing? He stole it. And it resulted in his brother Esau being very, very angry with him to the point he wanted him dead. You can back up a few chapters in Genesis and read all about that. Go down to verse 8, Genesis 36, verse 8. We're going to add another thing to this. Esau, Edom, and let's add something else here. Look at verse 8. This dwelt Esau where? In Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. It's pretty clear there. So add a third element to this. We've got Edom, Esau. Here's the third one, Mount Seir. You want to make sure you get these because we'll do a little cross-reference in here this morning. You've got to connect all these dots, Esau, Edom, Mount Seir. They're real clear in verse 8, but you're going to see them in some other places. We want to make sure that we get all this together. So Esau, Edom, Mount Seir. Let's see if you're listening here this morning. I'm going to give you a test. You ready? Too bad Miss Diana's not here. She loves these tests whenever I give them. She's listening at home and probably laughing right now. But the Edomites are descendants of Esau. So you'll see that interchangeably. Esau, Edom, the Edomites. And then a place, a particular place. What is it? Mount Seir. Okay, good. Let's go to Ezekiel 35. Ezekiel chapter 35. Oh boy, Ezekiel. It's before Obadiah. Right before Daniel. Ezekiel chapter 35. We're just learning some basics on the Edomites because God is not happy with the Edomites and their pride over there in Obadiah. So let's see why that's the case. Look at Ezekiel 35. I'm going to start at the very beginning of the chapter here, verse 1. Now, with what you already know from Genesis 36, it'll help in understanding some things here in Ezekiel 35. So Ezekiel 35, start in verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against where? There that place is, Mount Seir, and prophesy against it, and say unto it, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O Mount Seir, I am against thee, and I will stretch out mine hand against thee, and I will make thee most desolate. I will lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Okay, so before I go on here, without what we saw in Genesis 36, you have a hard time making the connection here. But you know, Esau, Edom, Mount Seir are all connected. The Edomites are descendants of Esau, and the location that is connected with the Edomites is Mount Seir. So what did you see there in verse 2? Mount Seir. What does the Lord think about Mount Seir? He's against Mount Seir. So being against Mount Seir, guess what people he's referring to? The Edomites. Okay, go on here. Verse 5. Why is the Lord so unhappy with them? Verse 5 is going to spell it out here for us. Verse 5. Because thou hast had a perpetual hatred and has shed the blood of who? Uh-oh, you mess with Israel, God messes with you. Thou hast shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time that their iniquity had an end. Okay, so the reason why the Lord is not happy with the Edomites is because of their treatment of what group of people? The Israelites. Now, if you've been here on Sunday nights, we've spent some time on this. An individual or a nation that messes with Israel, God is against them. So you're seeing that is the case with the Edomites. Now, a little side note here. The Edomites are descendants of Esau. Esau was really upset with Jacob, his brother, and wanted to kill him. What was Jacob's name changed to later on, folks? Israel. Now, here's just a little interesting side note. Esau's the father of the Edomites. He's the first one to have a real hatred for Israel. What happens to his children? They carry that thing on. Now, here's just a little side note here for all of us. First off, I'll say parents and grandparents. Your children or your grandchildren, whether you like it or not, they're going to take on your characteristics, whether they are good or bad. So you want to display a whole lot more good ones than bad ones. Amen? You want them to see a lot of good things from you. When I say good things, things that please God rather than things that don't please God. You want them to see that. And by the way, if you put on a show for them and they see it, but it's not really in your heart, they're going to know that. Because the real you will come out when you're around them enough. So beware of that. Parents and grandparents, children and grandchildren, go carry on some things about you. Now, if you're not a parent or a grandparent, I would fall into this category. There are people that I work with that are actually under my authority. Guess what will happen? As time wears on, guess what will happen? They will take on the characteristics that I have, being their overseer, whether they are good or bad. So you can't escape this, folks. You have an influence. Everybody here, whether you have children, grandchildren, or not, you have an influence on people. And you want to make sure that you are right with the Lord, because if you're right with the Lord, your actions and your words will be seen by those who are around you. And those who are under you, if you have a position of authority, will eventually take on some things that are just like you. So make sure. Here's the answer to that. Make sure you're walking daily with the Lord so that the things that other people see in you are the things that the Lord desires to be seen in you, so that they see a genuine Christ-likeness in you. Amen to that? A little side note here. It doesn't really have connection with the message per se, but with Esau for sure. Pretty neat there. Now, let's go back to Obadiah. You're there. Oh, no. Don't leave yet. I forgot to read two more verses. Very important verses. Ezekiel 35, verse 11. I got to go on here. Ezekiel 35, 11. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will even do according to thine anger and according to thine envy, which thou hast used out of thy hatred against them. It's addressed to the Edomites, against the Israelites. And I will make myself known among them when I have judged thee. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, that I have heard all thy blasphemies, which thou hast spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying, they are laid desolate, they are given us to consume. Isn't that interesting there? You keep seeing it again. You saw it there early in the chapter, and you see it again. The Edomites have a genuine hatred for a certain group of people. Who is that? The Israelites. And you think maybe it might have been because the Israelites had something that they didn't have, that they wanted. That was the case with Esau, and that was the case with his descendants as well. So as a result, they looked down on the Israelites, thinking that they were a lesser people, when in reality, the Israelites were the greater people. But the Edomites had this thing flipped around, thinking that they were better, and they wanted to get rid of the Israelites. Interesting thing in our world, with people always trying to get rid of the Israelites. You seeing that? Seen that in world history, and it's creeping into our world again today. So let's go back to Obadiah here. Let's get into our points. Take a look here at verse 2 again. A little bit about the Edomites, so it'll help us understand where else we're going this morning, but we'll try to make this personal as well. Verse 2 again, Obadiah 1. Behold, this is the Lord talking, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. Okay, so here's the first point this morning. Pride caused the Edomites to be despised. Pride was what caused the Edomites to be despised. So if you think you're always right and everybody else is wrong, you actually despise other people, don't you? Do you know what the Lord thinks of that? He despises you for that attitude. So pride caused the Edomites to be despised. I'll just tell you this, the Lord, and many of you, maybe everybody in here could speak from experience on this one, particularly older folks that have been walking with the Lord for a while. You know this is true. The Lord knows just how to get the attention of an individual and bring them down if they have pride in their heart. Did you know that? There's a fellow that I came to know about here a few years ago. He's a college baseball coach at University of Louisiana Lafayette. His name is Matt Deggs. He's got an incredible testimony of the grace of God. And here's a guy that was saved when he was a little boy. And then he got to a place where he got really involved with some really foolish living. I'll call it what it is, just some sin. And he's, by the way, he's doing this as he's making his way up in the world of college baseball coaches. He's climbing the ladder. Well, his sin resulted in one day, his best friend was his boss, the head coach. He's the assistant coach. And his best friend called him into his office one day and fired him because the sin that he was involved in was affecting the way that he was interacting with all the guys on the team. So here's a guy climbing the ladder, hit rock bottom. And he said, now he's obviously, this has been a few years ago, and he's on the other side of it, but he said, that was the best thing that ever could have happened to me, is for me to hit rock bottom, because I realized that God's in charge and I'm not. And I realized that everything I do, God sees, and sooner or later, sin will not only affect the people around you, sin will affect you, and it'll bring you down sooner or later. So I'll just stop right here in the message and say, if you got sin in your life, you better get that right today. Get it right with the Lord today. You know the Lord wants to clean you up. You know the Lord wants to forgive you on the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ. Get that right today, because if you let that thing prolong, when God enters the picture and says, okay, I'll take care of this, it is not pretty. And He knows how to bring you down. He knows how to get your attention. So continue the story on Matt Deggs. He was brought to a really low place. He almost lost his family over this. And he said, my family really should have left me after all this that happened. But he said, they stuck with me. So he got right with God. And a great deal of time passes here where he says, what do I do next? I've kind of blown it. My reputation is not really good in the baseball coaching world. So what do I do? Well, God in His mercy and grace gave him another opportunity. And long story short, you can look the guy up and see some of the things he's written and said. But long story short, the Lord took that guy out of the dunghill and actually brought him to a place where he has now a great influence for Jesus Christ, because this guy knows what it's all about when your pride results in you being brought all the way down. So here's, I tell you the story because one of my favorite sayings comes from this guy, and here's what he says. He says, there's two types of people in this world. Those who are humble, and those who are about to be. Isn't that the truth? He's got the story to go along with it. And I'll tell you, you look this guy up now, he's at a public university, and just about every chance he gets where he's interviewed, he heaps glory and praise to God for all the successes and failures that he goes through. It's the neatest thing. You know what it took for him to get to that point? Climbing the ladder, getting involved with sin, and being brought way down. Because whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, right? And this guy brought all the way down, and it was down there. By the way, another message in its own, but it's when you're down there, you start to see things clear. If you want to get a real good vantage point, we think that, okay, I'll climb up a ladder and I can see all around me, right? And physically, that might be the case. But spiritually, you know how there's paradoxes physically and spiritually. Spiritually, it's just the opposite. You actually see things the best when you're way down there. When you're way up here and you start climbing, you get diluted. I'm actually going to hit this here in a minute. You see things foggy and fuzzy and not clear at all. But when you're down there, that's when the Lord says, let me show you how things really are. So when pride enters your heart, beware. You can start climbing and the Lord will bring you down there. So pride caused the Edomites to be despised. Let me show you a couple verses on this. Keep your finger in Obadiah. We'll be back. Go to Psalm 53. Psalm 53, a verse over here in Psalms, and if we have time here, we'll cover one in Proverbs, and then we'll move on along here. Psalm 53. It's those low places that God takes you to where you start to really see things the way you should. Psalm 53. Look at verse 1. Psalm 53, 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. Look at verse 2. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. There were they in great fear where no fear was. For God has scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee, thou hast put them to shame because, now watch this, God hath done what? There's our word, God hath despised them. Who is it? I read all those verses on purpose. Who is it that God despises? Well, those that do not understand, that don't seek God, from verse 2. The workers of iniquity, those who've gone back there in verse 3. Those are the people that God despises. Those are the people that think that they're right, but they've left God completely out of the equation. Those are the people that God despises. It's kind of interesting. Notice in verse 2 it says, God looked where? God looked down. You know that no matter how high a man climbs or tries to climb, he's always looking up to God. You can never achieve that high place, and I'll talk about high places here in a minute, but God is always the one that's looking down, and he's actually the one that sees things better than any of us. So we want to get his vantage point on things. And it's interesting, God's up high, but to get his vantage point on things, you know what you got to do? You got to humble yourself. You got to go down. And that's the way God shows you how to see things the way they should be. Go to Proverbs. Proverbs 11. Another one here on being despised because of pride. Proverbs 11. Right after Psalms, you got Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 11. Watch this. Proverbs 11, verse 2. Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh what? Now, before I read the rest of the verse, do you want to have shame? Hopefully not. So how do you avoid shame? Avoid pride. Look at the rest of the verse here. But with the, what's that next word? The lowly. The humble. With the lowly, what's there? Wisdom. Easy choice. Would you rather have shame or would you rather have wisdom? Obviously wisdom. What do you need to have wisdom? You got to humble yourself and acknowledge before the Lord, you don't know it all. You don't have everything figured out. You need the Lord. You need His wisdom so that you can actually see things the way you should. And the low place is where you see things the way you should oftentimes. So I tell you, maybe it's just me. I don't know. But I got a feeling it's probably not. This pride thing just sneaks in from every angle if you're not careful. The very second you think you are higher or better than anybody at anything, pride has entered the picture, hasn't it? I'll tell you where you have to really be careful. People praise you. You know what happens when you receive praise? Now, it's okay to say thank you. It's okay to do that. I know sometimes we want to sound spiritual. Well, just praise God. And it's not even from the heart. You're just saying that because it sounds spiritual. You can say thank you and you can still deflect the praise to God. And you should. So when people praise you, and we all like to hear nice things about ourselves, right? Nobody else out there likes to hear good things about it? Right? Yeah, you do. And that's okay as long as you don't let that go to your head, or more importantly, to your heart, because if it's in your heart, it'll be in your head as well. Just be careful about that, because we all like to hear encouraging words. We all like to hear good job when we did something well. Just make sure that you understand the only way that person said anything good about you is because of Jesus Christ. That's it. Isn't He the one bringing out good in you? If you're saved, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that brings out good things in you. So He should be the one that that receives the praise, because He deserves the praise. Okay, let's go back to Obadiah here. Back to Obadiah here, and let's get this next point. Not only will pride cause you to be despised, and even by the Lord, it will also cause something else to happen. Take a look at verse 3. Obadiah, verse 3. The pride of thine heart hath done what? Deceive thee. So pride will cause you to be despised. Pride caused the Edomites and will cause us. Yeah, I say us, Bible-believing Christians. Pride can cause us to be deceived. Now you might be thinking, how can we be deceived if we have the truth and we believe the truth? You got to stay on guard on this all the time. So let's see if we can hit some things here. Pride caused the Edomites to be deceived, and if you're not careful, it can cause you to be deceived. Go back to Jeremiah 49. And again, I run these cross-references on purpose, and I hope that you'll look at them, because they have something to do with, obviously, the main subject this morning, pride. You'll see the Edomites mentioned over here. And it's neat the way that God put this all together and intended for us to do the comparison so that we could see some things about the Edomites so that we could avoid being like the Edomites. So this is a lesson in, this is a little preventive medicine. Here's how the Edomites are. Don't be like the Edomites. So let's go to Jeremiah 49. Jeremiah 49, 7. Another verse 7. Jeremiah 49, 7. Concerning Edom, there he is again. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman? Is counsel perished from the prudent? Is their wisdom vanished? Okay, so there's the subject of the chapter there, the Edomites. God asking some very important questions. Go down there to verse 15. I wanted to read that for context. Go down to verse 15. For lo, I will make thee small among the heathen, and what else? There's those Edomites. Despised among men. Now keep going, verse 16. Thy terribleness hath done what? Deceive thee. And the pride of thine heart. Now, you got to watch the wording here. This is really interesting. The pride of thine heart, O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill, though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as the eagle, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. Also Edom shall be a desolation. Everyone that goeth by it shall be astonished and shall hiss at all the plagues thereof. So you notice there in verse 16, the Edomites were deceived, and they were deceived because what was in their heart? Pride. Pride can cause a person to be greatly deceived. Let me give you an illustration. Everybody will agree with this one. I know that. Ever wondered why there are so many deluded and deceived people in our world today, particularly in places of government? Have you ever wondered that? Are you noticing that? There's a lot of deceived people in those places. What's their problem? Pride's a problem. That is the reason. So, you want to beware of people like that. You want to also be on guard for yourself. So let's look at a couple places in the New Testament here. Go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. A couple places in the New Testament associated with pride being connected with deception. Now, this will be a little bit more on the state of our world, but we could certainly turn this on ourselves as well, and we should do so. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and go down to verse 9. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. This is all about the coming man of sin. You see him mentioned there in verse 3, the man of sin, the son of perdition. Go down there to verse 9. That's the context of the chapter, is things in tribulation connected with the Antichrist. Verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all, there's our word, deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now, how come they were deceived? Let's look at the rest of the verse. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this, God shall send them strong what? Yeah, we're on these D words today. So deceived and deluded. Strong delusion that they should believe a what? Now, you've seen this in our world today. So many people believe lies. Now, I'm not talking about just lies about what's really going on in the world right now. We could spend some time talking about that, but I'm not going to do that. But I'm talking about lies about what really is the truth. So I'm talking about religious circles here. I'm not talking about just politics. I'm talking about spiritual things. So when a person rejects the truth of God's word, there's two things that happen. Verse 10, they're deceived. Verse 12, or verse 11, they're deluded. Look at verse 12, that they all might be what? Another D word. They all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And we've already seen this with the Edomites, and you could connect it right here with Satan. Lucifer, the first one that was ever brought from a high place down because of what? You see how the devil has such an influence on this world and is bringing the world down because he wants the world to think they're right when they're completely backwards wrong. But that's the means by which he will actually bring them down and get them under his control. So beware of that. Go over to, let's make this hit a little more close to home. Go over to 1 Corinthians 8. 1 Corinthians 8. So that's the world. Let's make this a little closer to home. James 1, it says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And then it goes on to say this, deceiving your own selves. I'm in 1 Corinthians 8, but James, you can write the verse down and look at it. James 1:22, just keep this in mind. Doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You and I can be deceived if we come to church, get all this info, and never do anything with it. That's what the Bible says. Doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So the intent in coming to church, glad you're here, glad you want to know the truth, but we got to take another step and do what with the truth? We got to apply the truth. I say this because I think this is where Christianity is today. There's a lot of people getting knowledge. That's good, amen? People want to know things about the Bible. People want to know things about the Lord, but let's not stop there. Let's put it into action. Let's apply it. Okay, with that in mind, little beware thing connected with pride. Look at 1 Corinthians 8:1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Watch it. Knowledge does what? You know what that is? When you're puffed up? See, if you just are a knowledge seeker and you don't do anything with the knowledge you've obtained, you get puffed up. Notice the rest of the verse. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity, what does that do? There's the action, isn't it? See, the knowledge is good for you. But charity is where the action comes in. And that's where we need to continue on and not just stop with obtaining knowledge, because knowledge is going to make you prideful. I've seen this in churches. I can't believe you guys don't know that. How is it that you don't know this? You've been in church for how long? You know what that is? That's just you trumpeting your pride and telling people how much you know and how much they don't know, and all it does is make you try to look good, but you're just doing nothing but being prideful. Beware of that. So I got to be careful here because we all want to learn. I hope that's the case. But let's make sure we take another step with it and actually put it into action, or else we just get puffed up and we go out of here and barely fit out the door because our head's so big, right? So beware of that. Pride caused the Edomites to be deceived. And I know that applies to our unsaved world, but that can also apply to Bible-believing Christians as well. So I just warn us all of that. Let's go back to Obadiah. Let's get this last point here. Obadiah, let's look at verse 4. We'll have some fun with this one on one hand of it, and then it'll be kind of rough here at the end. But I'll show you something kind of neat here. Let's go to verse 4. We've got pride caused the Edomites to be despised. It was pride that caused them to be deceived. And let's see what else. Look at verse 4. Obadiah 4. Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. So here's your last point. Pride caused the Edomites to be defeated. So God says, I'll bring you down. So the Lord wins this battle. The Edomites don't win. The Lord ends up on top like he always does. So let's have a little fun with this for just a minute here. Notice the wording, the particular wording of verse 4. Now, again, this is about the Edomites. But the Edomites were a group of people, and a group of people that had a piece of land. We saw Mount Seir connected with them. So you could say they're a nation, right? So God addresses them as a nation, as a people here. You think maybe, just maybe, there might be an application to the nation we live in from this verse? What do you think? I mean, any nation that promotes pride, don't you think that maybe this might apply to them? So I say that on purpose because look at the particular wording of verse 4. Look at it. It says, though thou exalt thyself as of all animals that could have been mentioned, what is it? Oh, boy. What is the bird that represents the United States of America? Of all things. You think maybe the Lord knew there'd be a nation that would have the eagle connected with it? That he wanted us to read this and say, watch out. It happened to the Edomites. It could happen to your nation as well. Okay, let's take this a little further. It's been 50 years ago now. Over 50 years ago. July 20th, 1969. We're told that NASA sent astronauts to the moon on the Apollo 11 mission. And the first crewed vehicle to land on the surface of the moon was the lunar module called... Remember Neil Armstrong? The eagle has landed. Now I say that because look what else the verse says. Thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the what? You mean the Lord knew that they would have a lunar module called the eagle? Why not? Nothing surprises God. Isn't that something right there? And notice among the stars. So there in that verse, you got not only the eagle, but you got the stars, maybe kind of like the stars and stripes. One star for every state. You read your Bible, you're getting insight into everything that happens in our world. Even what goes on at the Kennedy Space Center that nobody else knows about, the Bible tells you all about it. Isn't that something? Isn't that neat? So I actually wrote a little note out in the margin of my Bible. If you want to do the same, you could. But it's just a reminder. It's a reminder to me, personally. What I wrote out in the margin is America. Now, I put a little question mark there because originally it was not intended for America. But you can certainly make the application to America, can't you? But I put America there because guess where you and I live? Yeah. So, we got to be careful, folks. It's really, really easy in the month of June in the United States of America to point the finger and say, look at those people who revel in their pride. But we ought to point the finger at ourselves and say, we all got to watch out for personal pride of our own. Watch out. Let's go over to Proverbs. Let's end a couple places here. Go to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. Watch out personally. Personally. Let's make sure we get this application on a personal, one-on-one level with the Lord. Proverbs 15. Concerning pride. Proverbs 15:25. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Wow. The Lord over there said that he would defeat, bring down the Edomites. Reason why is because of their pride. Folks, don't let pride enter your hearts. another message maybe we should follow up with from this message, another message would be, instead of having pride in your heart, have humility in your heart. That's the opposite. So go over to Proverbs 16. Watch out for that pride. Proverbs 16, verse 18. 16, 18. Really good verse to memorize. All of us should memorize this verse if you don't know it already. Proverbs 16, 18. Pride goeth before. You don't want to be destroyed, do you? What precedes pride? Or what precedes destruction? It's pride. It's obvious. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Now, beware of personal pride. I'll even say it like this. If you think you are a better Christian than anybody else in this room today, you got a pride problem. You got to watch out for that, because you've been saved a long time, you've been in the Bible a long time. You'll kind of set yourself on a pedestal and think that you're better than other Christians. In fact, we've had things happen here at our church, and we've had people come and go, and it's really easy to look at people that have gotten mad, and if you've been here for a while, you know all about this. People who leave and they get mad for the most ridiculous of reasons. And it's easy for them to, for you to say, they're just not on the same level as I am. You know what you just did? You just revealed that you have a prideful heart. And instead, aren't you glad the Lord's been patient with you over the years? Aren't you glad He's taken time with you? You understand, everybody is at a different place in their walk with the Lord. You realize that? Saved people, everybody is in a different place. And it's really interesting. People who've been saved for a short time can grow by leaps and bounds fast. And then there's other people who've been saved for a really long time, and they've only grown this much. You know, the Lord meets people where they're at, and I'm so glad for that. Amen? I know for me, I went a long period of time where I was, you know what the word dormant means? There's no growth. There's just no growth. And I went a long period of time. The Lord didn't just say, okay, it's over, Rockwell, I'm done with you. He said, I'm going to wait for you. I thank God for that. So whenever people don't act like you want them to act, be patient with them. All right, the Lord, pray for them. Let the Lord deal with them. Let the Lord sort them out, because I've seen it. You've seen it too. You've been around for a while. You've seen people go away for something really stupid, and then they figure things out. They humble themselves and end up getting things right with the Lord. And sometimes they even come back to church. Amen. Be patient with people. If you just think, I just can't believe they're not where they should be, you just revealed you got pride in your heart. Meet people where they're at. Pray for them and let God deal with them. Let's close over here. Romans 12. That's a good statement, a couple statements to close with associated with this verse, Romans 12. I don't want you to think that's just what I think. This is what the Bible says. Romans 12. Look at verse 3. We'll wrap up over here. Proverbs. We're in Romans now, New Testament. Romans 12, verse 3. This is a great verse concerning watch out for pride. Instead, be humble. God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace to the humble, it says over in 1 Peter. I'd rather have grace than God resist me. Look at Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more what? Highly than he ought to think. But to think how? Soberly. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Exchange the high look for a sober look. I've said it probably a few times from the pulpit, but it's a really good acronym to remember. If you're saved, you are, we call ourselves Christians, right? Little Christs. Good little thing to remember. I heard this a long time ago, and it just will not leave me, and I'm so glad it won't leave me. C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N, right? So the first part of the word Christian is Christ. He's the first part of the verse because He's most important. Amen? And then on the end of that verse you have I-A-N. Stands for this. I am nothing. That's what you are without Jesus Christ. You're nothing. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved. Doesn't matter how many sermons you preach. Doesn't matter how many people you've led to the Lord. You're nothing. You start thinking of yourself that you're more than nothing, that's when pride enters your heart and God will deal with you. So here's the solution to this. If you're sitting here today and you've got a little tiny, even half an ounce of pride, you better take care of it today. Because if you don't, that half ounce will become an ounce. It'll become half a pound. It'll become a pound. It'll become more and more and more. And you better take care of that today so that God can just take that pride out of your heart and humble yourself. So I'll just give you maybe a few personal things that might help you with that. If you today are not thankful for what God has done for you and given you, it's likely a pride issue. You know, the first step, there's this downward spiral over in Romans 1 that leads to the way our world is today. I'll just say it like that. The beginning of that downward spiral is people who are not thankful. Make sure you stay thankful to the Lord. If you are one of those people who is constantly finding faults in other people and criticizing other people, you got a problem with pride. Because when you criticize other people, what are you doing to yourself? You're just lifting yourself up. If you are more concerned with pleasing people than you are concerned about pleasing God, there's another one. That's just a manifestation of pride. Now, here's a tough one, but I'm going to say it. If you are not praying and depending on the Lord for all the needs in your life, guess who's in charge? You are. You know what you got a problem with? Pride. Don't we need to depend on the Lord for every single circumstance, every single need in our lives? If you've taken the reins, you've placed yourself ahead of the Lord. Let Him take over. Confess your pride to the Lord. Let Him clean you up and change your heart so you have a humble heart today. Let's bow our heads together. First, I want to thank you, Lord, for what you've shown us here about the Edomites that we can most certainly make personal application to. Help us all this morning. Help all of us to look at our hearts, look at ourselves in a really sober, clear fashion this morning. Give us the mind that you have towards us so that we see things in ourselves that we need to clean up. I pray that pride would not have a place in any of us individually or our church as a whole. Particularly, Lord, as we're going through a time here where there's some great needs in our church in many different areas, we are just asking you to fill the needs and to supply the needs and to take care of the things that we could never do on our own. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.